two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another hour of Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, shocked, by the way, of the revelation last hour that if you won the Indianapolis 500 that nobody seems to remember anymore being an event. Although Memorial Day weekend was, when I was a kid, I turned on NBC, you watched the Unsers, you watched the Andretti's. The payout for the winner was $3.6 million. That's more than winning a major.
Wow.
I know.
It's close. I mean, they're
getting there. I mean, it's not live tour money, but it's getting up there. But that among many other things in the world of sports on Memorial Day weekend. And
do you like racing? Do you watch it, JJ?
I don't.
You don't watch it?
I don't like it, and I don't watch it.
Goodbye. I don't like it. I'm just not. It's not capturing my imagination. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, listen. Yeah.
Like, I love competition. I love sport. And there's been many years ago when NASCAR was hot, and there's like big names and big stars in NASCAR, and you were paying more attention to it.
Yeah, but I didn't.
And F1 has had a huge explosion.
Massive. I got into it. I got sucked into that whole F1 machine. And part of it is that I have the hardest time following races that just go in circles for 500 miles.
The turn left thing's not your thing, right?
It's hard. And yet, here I am. I've gotten into other racing, so I can't say. I'm not going to poo-poo it totally because I know people are into it. So there you go.
I'm not poo-pooing. I'm just curious.
I just think it's just IndyCar in this country is not a popular sport. And when it comes to open-wheel racing, F1 is the thing.
It's the thing, yeah.
So it's kind of like no one's really getting sucked into IndyCar racing here in this country.
But
it's not the best in the world, right?
No. And, yeah, they're not the best racers in the world. There is something to be said, though, that everybody gets the same exact car. That's the problem that F1 has. It's like, here are the regulations. You make a car based off of that, and no two cars is created equal. And so you kind of go, well, is it the car or is it the person driving the car? It's a mix of it. At least in IndyCar, the cars are spec'd the exact same. And you go, it's just the guys who are racing if they can do it better. So that part I don't like about F1 is you just go, oh, we have more money. We can build a better car. It's fine. Jeremiah Jensen, KSL 5 Television, joining us here in studios. What's up, JJ? Man, we're excited.
Are you? Really?
Yeah, man, because it's I have more energy coming off of a longer weekend than I do off a regular weekend.
Yeah.
I think we all do.
Yeah, that extra day just kills us.
Here's the problem,
guys. We can get through 4 days in a week.
It's beautiful outside.
And here we are inside.
And we're sitting in a radio studio. It's hard.
We don't even have a window to the outside
world.
No,
it's dark in here, man.
This is hard work right now.
I got a question for you, JJ.
Yeah.
So Miami Heat, like, that, what a roller coaster ride, right? They look like they're cruising, and then they look like they're going to implode, and then they win a remarkable game. Jimmy Butler, is he a bona fide superstar in the NBA?
Yes. 100%.
100%.
Was he before this?
I think he had that moxie, and he backed it up quite a bit. If he would have made that shot last year, I think it would have launched him into the stratosphere. And I think this has just kind of solidified it. You have to do it over time, right?
Right. Yeah.
So Jimmy had some great playoff. I think there was a lot of misconceptions about Jimmy Butler because he's got a little bit of Jordan in him, but he's not Michael Jordan in the sense that he demands a lot from his teammates. He developed a reputation as somebody who was hard to play with, which I don't understand because you now see the Miami Heat and everybody just loves the guy. And he was in some bad situations, like the Bulls weren't great when he was there, and he got traded to the Timberwolves. Obviously, we all know who the Timberwolves are. And so he's had a hard time finding a great organization and opportunity to really shine and be who he is. But he's a great story. He was the 30th pick in a draft, the last pick in the first round. He was homeless when he was young. He's a guy that has a chip on his shoulder, always has, and he's really matured in the last 3 or 4 years, and the Miami Heat have benefited from that.
Okay, let's talk about talent level.
Mm-hmm.
Nikola Jokic or Jimmy Butler, who do you want?
Jokic.
Jamal Murray, Jimmy Butler, who do you want?
Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
But it's close because now that Jamal Murray is healthy, he's spectacular.
He's and going down that road and maybe be a superstar.
He can do things maybe more consistently that Jimmy Butler can't.
Like what? I mean, honestly, I look at Jimmy Butler and go,
three-point shooting?
Yeah, he's a little bit
his shooting percentages are better.
Mm-hmm.
Better ball handler, better, more of a point guy. Jamal Murray's more of a point guard. I mean, he can run the show.
Sure.
Dominates the ball. Jimmy doesn't have to do that. He can. I think if you're looking at just based on talent, I think Jamal Murray's slightly more talented. But, you know, the cliche, he's got dog in him. Jimmy Butler has the biggest dog of all.
Right.
So that makes up for a lot of any gap that there might be there. I would take Jimmy Butler right now because I think he's a playoff guy. But Jamal Murray's proven to be as well. So that's a really tough answer, a question to answer. But that's my answer.
Let me ask you this because we were talking about this run that Miami is making.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit of a – I think people will be quick to go, yeah, but they're not really an 8 seed. Well, that's obvious they're a pretty darn good basketball team, but they are what they were going into the playoffs. Yeah. And is this maybe historically one of the most impressive, let's say maybe the most impressive run to an NBA Finals, and if they win a championship, that this would be the most impressive NBA championship by an underdog in history?
Well, we've only seen 2 8 seeds ever make it to the Finals, right? And this 8 seed is far more impressive than the one in 1999, the New York Knicks that ended up in the Finals and lost to the Spurs. So, yeah, I would say this is one of the great stories in NBA playoff history. Even up to this point, it is. Getting to the Finals as an 8 seed is extremely difficult, and you look at the teams they had to knock off. They had to beat the Bucks in the first round. They did it in 5 games.
Knocked off the 1 and 2 seeds.
And the Celtics.
Yeah. You just went into Boston in a game 7 when everyone had written your obituary, and after just an absolute gut punch loss in game 6 on your home court, and you go and do what you did last night, which was really impressive. This is a great story, and if they were to win the NBA championship, no team that's been an 8 seed has ever done that. And you consider all the injuries and the roster they have. They're relying not only on the rotation as starters, on undrafted guys. What they're able to do with the talent they have is unreal. And you have to give their organization a lot of credit because everyone says, oh, it's Miami Heat. You can go out and get any free agent you want. Well, look at their roster, and they got a lot of guys on there that before the season a lot of people hadn't heard of. Look what Caleb Martin's doing. He was cut by the Hornets.
Yeah.
Gabe Vincent, where did he come from?
Gabe Vincent's the funny one where you kind of go, no one said the words Gabe Vincent and tremendous or wow, you know, at any point in this guy's career, it seems like, you
but
know?
Don't you, so, no. But don't you feel like, because you have a 1 seed, mm-hmm. right, Denver, who went all the way through. They were number one in the West pretty much the whole entire year. Went through the playoffs, number 1 seed they go, and everyone goes, well, they should. That, you know, they're clearly one of the top teams in the league. But then you have a team, Miami, and you talk about the injuries, and you talk about the coaching, and you talk about where these guys come from, and you almost wonder when teams just go, it can't just be one player We got to figure out how to do it as a team. And when you're kind of allowed to participate, you know, because so many teams you're not, you know, like I don't know that a team with LeBron on kind of, you know, has that, you know, look, you'll shoot when you're told to shoot and when we let you shoot kind of thing. And I wonder if that kind of that team basketball allows some of these players to either show what they're capable of or they get the very most out of them because they're actually given opportunities. And it's not just like in the playoffs, you know, they had opportunities to play during the season, because you look at like the Jazz, and in some way that's kind of what happened there as well. A lot of these guys got opportunities to play and to get minutes and meaningful minutes. And you saw guys like a Talon Horton Tucker and some of these guys show up because they kind of were forced to.
I think, Scott, that this season, and especially this finals, is going to usher in a new era in NBA basketball. The emphasis is going to be placed on team building, not just going out and doing what the Suns just tried to do this year and go out and get the biggest stars you can and put them on the court together, because I don't think that works anymore. And I think that you're seeing this formula that Denver and Miami have, this approach, and the Celtics also had. The Celtics are not a team built on free agents and overspending.
Right.
They drafted really well. So that's this new era. I don't think the super team era works anymore, because I think you have too many of these teams, and these NBA organizations, the ones that are at the top, are too savvy and they're too good at what they're doing. Look at the Miami, like we just talked about the Miami Heat, but look what Denver's done with their guys. I mean, a guy like Bruce Brown, finding a guy like that that can be a key rotational player, it helps you get where you want to go. They did go out and get Aaron Gordon in a trade. You know, that's part of that whole process, right? Is finding guys that fit your team well. And everybody's going to start copying what Denver, Miami, Boston have done. And they're not going to go out and spend crazy amounts of money on a James Harden in an offseason, unless you're Houston, to try to – that'll come up here
Brooklyn
in the summer.
Brooklyn did that. I mean, that's what they
work.
Did. And it didn't work.
It failed.
It just blew up.
Ever since, you know, LeBron, that super team era, and then the Warriors built what they did, which was actually more about – the Warriors are actually this before. I mean, they were very organic with their own guys and outsmarting the rest of the league. So – you're going to see a big change in the league in how they address it. You're not going to see teams overspend in free agency like they used to. They're going to try to do it this way, and the Jazz are one of those teams that I think have already started that process.
Should Utah sports lovers start watching the NHL Stanley Cup Finals just to prep themselves a little bit for what the world could look like with an NHL team here? There is something to be said about, like, hey, If you really want to be, like, you would pride yourself on, if a team did have to come to town, like, we better be freaking fans. We better show everybody that we show up, right? I mean, that's kind of the point of all this, even with a Major League Baseball team. But, you know, I was watching, you know, the first 8 minutes of that game yesterday of the Western Conference Finals, and Vegas was up 3-0 within 2 seconds, it seemed like, in Dallas. And I was trying to think to myself, because my kid was like, are we going to get an NHL team here? And I go, I mean, the possibility's there, and could you imagine a Salt Lake team or a Utah hockey team against a Vegas hockey team? It seems like these expansion teams show up in the playoffs like lickety-split, and that's encouraging, because these are the newest teams, Seattle, Vegas, you know, previously, but these teams are like in the deep part of the playoffs very early on.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating now that we've had this little bit of a tease that it's possible, which is awesome. I have been watching the Stanley Cup playoffs differently. I'm glad you bring this up, because I've been watching the fan and the energy in the buildings, and it's unbelievable.
It's insane.
Did you watch Game 4 Florida Panthers when they won? Oh, my gosh.
And it was
gosh.
A sweep, except for – but it still had some crazy
but
energy
the electricity
to it.
In that building, in a place where hockey – who cares about hockey in Miami? Well, they do now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can really – galvanize a sports fan base behind this sport, and it's electric, and there's not a lot of things out there that can replicate Stanley Cup playoff hockey and the intensity, and you see what it's done to the fan bases involved. We've watched what it's happened in Vegas.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of, you know, Golden Knights hockey, there's season ticket holders in St. George.
There are actually going to be people here that people jumped on board here onto the Golden Knights in Salt Lake area.
Some, yeah.
Massive. I know a couple guys, including my kid's baseball coach is maybe the biggest Golden Knights fan I've ever seen. And he lives here in Salt Lake. And I was like, dude, what's going to happen when a Salt Lake team comes here? He's like, yeah, no, I would tell you, I have a hard time thinking that it would be my team. And I was like, dude, it would be your team. In fact, I'm just going to say right now, we need you. I don't know what that looks like, but we need you.
A lot of people in our community that are starving for that and looking for that connection that they found with the Vegas team that they would instantly find here.
When I signed with the Detroit Lions, and the first day I'm in Detroit, I turn on the news, sports.
Yeah.
And they lead in the sports with the Red Wings.
Yeah.
Like it's hockey town, right? And I got into hockey, and I saw that because they were good then. They won the finals, and you know, a lot of really good players and what have you.
That was their golden era.
And that energy was just like you're talking about was amazing. But when you have like out, you mentioned these places like Seattle and Las Vegas and Salt Lake, because you know people in Utah, they'll get behind their sports.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, rabid fans wherever they are. And I think part of it is because they haven't had it, you know, and so you get some of these, they're kind of jaded, there's not maybe the same interest in it, but out here, and you could create some just really exciting rivalries and something to really look forward to. But I think it's almost one of those things, though, if you did get a hockey team here, it would be imperative that they won early, right? I think you need a team, you know, that kind of got a taste for, you know, when the Avalanche went to Colorado and they, you know, they won, like, I think they won the Stanley Cup like the first year.
They did.
And Patrick Waugh was an amazing goalie for them. And that's kind of what happened in Las Vegas is they had a really, really good goalie and they just did, you know, and it helped kind of keep them competitive early on. But I just, the fan base is out here because I don't think you traditionally think of the West as necessarily a hockey place. But I could see it becoming a hockey haven in the western part of the United States because it is. It is a great sport, and the fan bases are exciting, and the play. It's just a great – I think more so than maybe any other sport you could bring. I really do. You talk about that energy. I think it'd be huge in a place like Utah.
I think there already is a hockey fan base here, and it's not huge because we've had double-A hockey here for quite a while. And I give the Grizzlies a lot of credit. Utah Grizzlies have been really good.
Yeah.
And
those games are fun. They're energetic.
They've really engaged the fan base here. It's not a massive number because you're not drawing in the casual fan to a double-A hockey franchise. But there is already a rabid core of hockey fans. And then if you add in the general interest that would happen once you bring in the NHL, you would instantly have a massive amount of excitement and energy in this community about NHL hockey. I'm not talking – we've had professional hockey, but this is NHL hockey. This is the best players in the world.
And it's different.
I'm
telling you, the talent level is just
so
amazing.
The ECHL that the Grizzlies are part of, their average home attendance this year, this past season, more than doubles what the A's have put in some of these games that they've had at home. 5,800 people a game at the Maverick Center.
Yeah.
The A's would love to have 5,800 a game right now.
I know.
Right?
But I'm just saying, like, in terms of there's a rabid passion. We've been to those.
The core is there.
It's a good foundation.
It's really, really fun to go to those things. But, I mean, it's also one of those things. I think we are going to have to educate our you know, the ourselves, you know, on having what an NHL
course,
team
but
looks like.
And
you,
like Scott said, I mean, maybe fans in Seattle and Vegas have been a little spoiled with this, but if they were to get a team, let's say the Coyotes moved here, and they win immediately, oh my gosh, people will be all in. You know how it is. I mean, look what the Jazz did. It took a while. When they first came here, the Jazz were an afterthought. College basketball was the biggest thing in the state in the early 80s when the Jazz came here, and a lot of people didn't think pro basketball would work here because everyone thought that college basketball was king here. It didn't take long, about 5 years, when they started winning. As soon as they started winning, they got in the playoffs, and then you get John and Carl, then all of a sudden,
that's a big, now
it's
game in
juggernaut
town.
In town, right? So hockey could thrive here. There's no doubt about
it. Do you think Michael Jordan was a bad basketball player? Was he bad?
No, it's not that he was a bad basketball player. He was
a bad human.
He was
being?
A horrible teammate. Oh. Wasn't that what Scottie said?
I didn't. He said a lot of things. I don't know.
There's been a lot of things said about Michael Jordan
by Scottie Pippen,
by specifically the people that by played Pippen. With him. Yes,
it's wild. Let me ask you this: Colorado and the possibility of them going to the Big 12 and the rumors that surround that. How could that be good for anybody? How could that be good for the Big 12, the Pac-12? I just don't see how this benefits anyone right now, how the Big 12 would be like, yes, what a massive get, and how the Pac-12 or how for Colorado leaving the Pac-12 would be a good option for them.
It makes no sense to me at all right now. Right now it doesn't make sense.
Right.
That can change. Everything can change. The new TV deals, when they come up, everything can change. We know what's happening right now. The Pac-12 doesn't have a deal. So I think there's a lot of nervousness and a lot of uncertainty. And so whenever you have nervousness, I'll call it anxiety. How about that? There's some anxiety about the Pac-12 TV deal. And anytime you have anxiety or uncertainty, rumors will persist. Rumors will take over because people want answers, and so they'll start coming up with their own. And so that's going like wildfire right now, and it's causing all kinds of stuff to come up and conversations to be had that maybe aren't based on truth. But as far as this situation goes, I don't know what Colorado, I think, is this bloated idea that they are something and they're not.
Before they've even started, the idea that something maybe could get going possibly with Coach Prime in town, and they're already going, yeah, I don't know if the Pac-12 is for us. We're looking at greener pastures.
We hired Prime,
what?
So we're ready to go. Like, you haven't done anything
yet. You haven't paid him yet.
You've been an abysmal failure in the Pac-12 from pretty much your existence, and you're now all of a sudden this prime team for the Big 12.
Now you're this attractive expand. I mean, some people involved say Colorado should hold out for the Big 10. Like, are you delusional? Like, who do you think you are? And so but that's part of the problem here is we don't know what the heck's happening. And I don't know what the Big 12's doing next. And so it's hard to know what the future is when you don't know what the truth is with all this stuff. And are Oregon and Washington really going to stay in the Pac-12? Pac-10, I guess. I don't know what you're going to call it now. You know what I mean?
The Pac-9.
Do USC and UCLA get cold feet at the last minute and decide? Right. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of weird stuff going on there. USC's athletic director just left. Like, there's just all these weird things going on, and the Big Ten just has all these problems. It turns out that they had a lot of, you know, things weren't actually taken care of like they thought with the commissioner and everything, and there's some things there that are causing some angst.
Sure.
So college sports is kind of a mess, but it's at the same time it's a car wreck where you love watching and love
we
talking
are tuned
about.
In, man.
But it's just crazy what's going on and the uncertainty it's causing. To back to that, I don't know what to think of that because I hear stuff every day. I'm like, really? Like, the logic isn't in play here. There's no logic behind Colorado joining the Big 12 without bringing three other partners from the Pac-12 with them, right? Why would the Big 12 want Colorado and not want the Arizona schools and Utah to come with them? Why wouldn't the Big 12 want to go make a chase after Oregon and Washington instead,
deal.
Right?
It's a bad deal.
I think it's picking on someone who's just a little unsure. And if you get one to fall, then I think it creates chaos, and I think everything falls at that point. Because then you're just like, well, there's only going to be 19. How in the world is that going to work out? And I think it's a strategy by the Big 12 to actually find who's the weak link, who's gonna get nervous, and who's going to say, well, you know, we're going to jump ship. And I think if the dominoes start to fall, then it could happen. But I just still believe that that they're going to get a deal done. I really do. I just think that's the most logical thing.
They'll get a deal done, but will it be a good deal that's going to help and enhance the league? That's my question.
Probably. I mean, if it isn't, I think in the short term probably doesn't hurt anything.
No.
Because you know, maybe in a few years it might, but you know, right now it may. I don't think there's going to be any moving around.
If your best games are on Prime, did you get a good deal?
Ask the NFL. They're like, we don't know what this move was.
You know what? In 5 years, maybe it is. Maybe it's the place to be. I don't know.
I say that without an answer. I don't know.
Maybe
you're
Apple.
Maybe right.
I mean, you look at the most watched event on all of television is the NFL on NBC on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Of everything.
Yep.
JJ, what's going on TV tonight? I mean, it's a Tuesday. We're already jumping right in here, front end of the week.
We're so looking ahead to the NBA Finals. Utah softball's on the way to the Women's College World Series, which is awesome and exciting. Right. It's a great story. And they have a chance to win some games there and make some noise, too. I mean, they've already beat Washington.
And that's who they face first, right?
So, I mean, that tells you how good this team is. So, that's going to be really fascinating. And a major sports league is coming to Utah next year.
That's all he's going to say.
It's a major award.
That's all he's going to say. Got to tune in tonight.
There you go.
JJ, thanks for hanging out, man.
You got it.
As always. Hey, Jeff Donovan's going to be here with Get Your ERC Refunds on Wednesday during DJ and PK. Tune in 7 to 10 in the AM, and you can join them for Jeff Donovan. We'll take the break here, and we will come back when we return. BT's going to join us from Real Golf Radio, of course, on DKSL Sports Zone every Saturday. Interesting stuff to be able to announce from St. George, a massive tournament that is going to be announced, that has been announced now, that's going to be starting up in a couple of years. BT's going to give us a little bit of the details on that. Stay with us, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless, and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.